There's only one reason I could never be a nun, and it's not what you think. I don't often talk about this, but my first sense of a call from God was not to the priesthood, but to the convent. Throughout my teens and early 20s, I really thought I might want to be a nun. Seeking the counsel of the nuns who had taught me in school, I learned that to join a religious order, to become a nun or a monk, you have to take three vows: poverty, chastity, and obedience. I have no problem with the first two. I would have been happy to live simply and unmarried. But obedience? The mere mention of the word turns me into a rebellious teenager primed to do the exact opposite of whatever it is I am told. You could order me to sip Mai Tais on the beach all day long, and my first instinct would be to throw a drink in your face, utter some choice words, and storm off. I don't think I'm alone, though. Most of us, to some degree, do not like being told what to do, particularly if it's coerced, right? Nod your head if that might, yes, yeah, yeah. Surrendering agency over your own life is not something we're wired for. Today is the last Sunday in Epiphany, the season of light. It's the season that follows the season of Christmas, and it's the season we celebrate God's light coming into the world. And it is fitting on this day to read the story of the Transfiguration. In a season of light, this is the pinnacle, when Jesus' followers are dazzled, practically blinded by God's light. And it's the Bible story we need right before we enter the season of Lent. In a few days, liturgically and spiritually, we will leave the dazzling mountaintop and follow Jesus back down into the valley. Now, I have preached and listened to sermons on the Transfiguration so many times over the years. By the way, we read this passage twice a year. Did you know that? We read it on the last Sunday of Epiphany, and then there is also the actual Feast of Transfiguration, which is in August. So as the preacher, you get a lot of chances to both preach on this and hear sermons on it. And every time, it's like always some version of the same story or the same message of how we don't get to stay on the mountaintop, how following Jesus means following him away from those transcendent places where everything is wonderful and into the messiness of the world where God's love is truly needed. It is not easy to make this story fresh. But as I was reading it again, I noticed something. In that breathtaking moment where glory is unveiled and heaven touches earth, the voice from the cloud says, "This is my son, my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him. Not admire him, not analyze him, not worship him from a distance. Listen to him." Here at St. Michael's, the story gets told, and it was told as recently as our vestry retreat last weekend. One of our core values, as you might know, is following Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't know what our core values are, please visit our website and read all about them. As the story goes, in the discernment process several years ago, it was just before my time starting here, you had identified five core values of this community, this church: spiritual growth, stewardship, joy, community, and diversity. In the end, Jesus was nowhere on the list. And apparently, it was one of the times our former rector drew a hard line and said that was unacceptable. And thus, St. Michael's has six core values, the first of which is following Jesus Christ. Now, I don't share this story to shame you in any way. I hope we can just have a good laugh at ourselves here. And I think it's likely that following Jesus was just assumed and didn't need to be identified as a distinctive value of St. Michael's. I mean, after all, that's what church is supposed to be about, right? No matter where you are. But it's also true that the mandate to really follow Jesus, to truly listen to him, can make us more uncomfortable than we would like to admit. To be fair, we grapple with the command to listen to him for good reason. God told me to do it has been the root cause of immense harm on behalf of the church, of Christianity, of God. And certainly on a national scale, we are seeing how millions of people, including many in our government, claim to be following Jesus as they wish and enact terrible evils on the very people Jesus commands us to protect. And so when we hear the command to listen to Jesus, it's a mixed bag. But the truth is, listening to Jesus is one of the hardest parts of discipleship. Like Peter, James, and John, we love inspiration. We love mountaintop experiences, especially religious ones where we really feel the presence of the Spirit. But listening, truly listening, that's another matter. Listening implies obedience. The root word for listen and obey in Greek is the same. To listen to Jesus is to obey him, shaping and patterning our lives after his teachings, perhaps making different choices, harder ones, less fun ones. We are all pretty good at admiring Jesus. There's a lot to love, but the very things that we admire about Jesus are the same things that often challenge us and cause us to put up those barriers of resistance when it comes to listening to them ourselves. We admire Jesus when he says, love your enemies, when it means that we can point the finger at someone else's failure to do so. We admire Jesus when he says, love your neighbor, but we quietly sometimes redefine who our neighbor is when it's not someone we might want to help. We admire Jesus when he says, forgive 70 times 7, but we hold on to one justified resentment. We admire Jesus when he says, do not be afraid, but we cling tightly to the comfort of our own anxiety. We admire Jesus when he says, the last will be first, but we quietly hope he doesn't mean us. Admiring Jesus is easy. Listening to him is harder. The Transfiguration reveals who Jesus truly is, radiant, divine, the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. But the command to listen, it is not just for the mountain. It is to prepare for what comes next. For the disciples, that means that they are soon going to see him misunderstood, rejected, ultimately crucified. And when glory is hidden and suffering is visible, that is when they will need to remember God's voice. Listen to him. We too live between mountain and valley. We have moments when our faith is luminous, when prayer flows, when scripture speaks clearly, when God feels close by. But most of life is lived toward the bottom of the mountain, in ordinary valleys of school runs and errands, meetings, bills, disappointments, strained relationships, private temptations. And much of our life these days dwells in the valley of the shadow of death, in the chaos and cruelty of immigration officers brutally and violently snatching innocent people without due process, simply for what they look like or for daring to exercise their constitutional right to witness. We live in the poisoned wells of white Christian nationalism, where empathy is counted as sin, racism is simply God's will, greed is meritorious, and the lust for unbridled earthly power is a divine mandate. We live in the literal earth-shattering devastation of the pillaging of our natural resources, and in the valleys of our own grief and fear and anxiety. But it is there, especially there, that God's command echoes. Listen to him. Listen to Jesus when he says, "Love your enemies. Do not worry about tomorrow. Whatever you did for the least of these, you did to me. Follow me." To listen to Jesus is to forgive when it costs you, to tell the truth when it's inconvenient, to choose generosity when fear says to hoard, to pray when distraction calls, to trust when outcomes are uncertain. To truly listen to Jesus might reshape our schedules, might alter our priorities, might put to death our egos or our illusions of safety. To truly listen to Jesus means that his voice will carry more weight than the culture around us, more authority than politics, more credibility than our own impulses. The truth is, we all listen to and obey something. In a world of admirers and idolaters of Jesus, today we hear instead a command, an invitation, perhaps a desperate plea. Listen to him. As our scripture today commends us, you will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Listen to him. Amen.